Amen. Thank you, Craig and Patty. It is wonderful to know that God has it under control. We may not, and we certainly look around and we know that the politicians don't, right? God has it all under control. It's going to be okay. And one of the great things about going to church, and I learned this shortly after I was saved, boy, you get out of church and it's like everything is okay. It really is okay, and that is the truth. It really is okay. God's got it under control. Here in Colossians, well, there's so much here and so many good things. I call your attention to verse 10, which is where I get the title and the text for the message. Actually, this morning's message and tonight's message. This morning is part one of a little two-part Bible study that I did on walk worthy of the Lord. And it says here in verse 10 that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. And certainly our Christian life is pictured as a walk. And often in the scripture, the word walk is used, and it's a reference to the walk that we take and the Christian life walking. And as we just heard by song, we walk with the one who knows tomorrow. And he holds our hand, and he's with us. And if you stay with him, you know, tomorrow is going to be a good day. It really is. And let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you and thank you so much for the fact that we can walk with you and that we ask that you'd help us to have the kind of walk that would be pleasing and fruitful. And God, that we would do exactly what you want us to do. Help us to walk worthy of our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You'll notice in verse 10, he says that ye might walk worthy unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's our walk. That's how it happens. As you walk with the Lord, if you walk worthy of the Lord, it's pleasing to him. You're fruitful in good works, and that is what we're created for. Good works, amen, as Christians. That's what he saved us so that we could do good works. And increasing in the knowledge of God. You can't help but walk with the Lord and increase in the knowledge of God. Amen. Then he says, you're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Again, being with him, and we'll talk about that, unto patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. Hey, everything I'm reading so far sounds pretty good as far as the Christian walk. Giving thanks unto the Father. Again, as you walk with him, the more thankful you are with him, the more thankful you are to him for what he's done. And certainly, verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness, hallelujah. Some of you need to tell your shouter that that's the way it is. We're delivered from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. See, the Christian walk's a good thing in whom we have redemption. Amen. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I mean, this Christian walk is a good walk. And it's an exciting life and an exciting walk. I want to talk to you, like I said, this morning and tonight, about walk worthy of the Lord. And 2 points this morning, 2 points tonight. The first point this morning is our course. Our course. And just talking about the walk that we take as a Christian. I was saved at the age of 17. Some folks get saved at a younger age. In fact, many of our folks here got saved when they were 5, 6 years old. Many of our children are saved, and it's always a blessing for them to hear the gospel and to, you know, that little tug, maybe at nighttime, and, Mommy, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. And, boy, that's an exciting thing to hear as a parent. And then their walk begins. Mine began when I was 17 years old, my Christian walk and my walk with the Lord. And I really do want to walk worthy of the Lord. I want to do right. I want to please him. But he gives us the course that we're going to walk. And a couple things about the course that I wanted to give to you this morning. First of all, it's just a short walk. It's a short walk. Now, you know, sometimes Brother Chase, for example, he's been telling me about his routine of walking, and he walks 5 miles. And I'm not sure if he does that every day or not, or if he does it once a year. I don't know. But I don't even like to drive 5 miles, let alone walk 5 miles. But he's walking 5 miles. He told me his route that he takes and everything. And my course, usually, my wife and I, when we walk, we don't walk quite that far. Yesterday I walked, and it certainly was not 5 miles. But our life as a Christian, it's just a short walk. I mean, if you compare however many years that you are saved with how many years we're going to be alive eternally, I mean, there's no comparison. It's just a short time. Look, if you will, at Hebrews 11. And by the way, this is a Bible study, and I hope you have your Bibles and you're ready to turn. And we're going to move very, very fast because I have a lot of verses to look at. Hebrews 11, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. Amen. I mean, this Christian walk here, it's wonderful, it's great, it's exciting, but there's a better country. Amen. There's something better coming. That is an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. And hallelujah, what a city it is. Amen. I mean, look, that's what we have to look for. This is just a short walk here. This is not a long distance trip. This walk is just, he calls it here, a pilgrimage. And these people realize it was just a pilgrimage. It was just a short walk. Verse 8, it says about Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And he recognized that, hey, it's just a short walk. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, don't get too comfortable. Amen. Just a short time here on this earth. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. And if you put everything into this life, you're putting it into something that isn't very long. You might want to consider putting some effort and some treasure into eternity, because we're really just out for a short walk. You know, it's very interesting. When my wife and I go on a short, I don't take anything. I don't take my keys. We leave things, you know, where we can get in and everything. And I don't take keys. Don't take money. Don't take any. Just go for the walk. You know, there's a good lesson in that. Since this is just a short walk, don't get too rooted here. Don't get so tied down here. Start getting excited about the things that are going toward that future in heaven. It's a short walk. Second thing under this, under our course, is it's a selfless walk. A selfless walk. And that's the way it should be. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16, 24. A selfless walk. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We don't like that, but that is how we're supposed to walk. Again, we're talking about walking worthy of the Lord. And he says, okay, if you're going to walk with me, you need to deny yourself. I think about that sometimes when my wife and I are walking, and I can talk about her now because she's not here. Thank you so much for praying for her mom. Her surgery went well, but Brenda had to stay, and they're really watching that blood level and everything. But when we walk, you know, I can't just do everything I want to do. She has some health issues that we have to slow down. Going up any kind of a hill, we just almost crawl up that hill because it's very hard on her. I might want to just keep going. Then again, I really like slowing down. But sometimes though, she'll want to go down this path, or she'll want to go this way. And she likes the ducks, you know. And ducks and I don't. It's okay. I've often thought it might be good on a plate. But she likes to count all the little ducklings. There was one time I think she felt like we were the caregivers of the little ducklings over at Burr Pond. These little ducklings, you know, and one day there's 10 of them, and then the next day there's 9, and we had to go all the way around the pond to find the other one. You know, and sure enough, there it was out there and doing its thing and lost, and she's trying to, you know, shoo it to mama. And it's just an amazing thing. And I mean, we took extra trips trying to get that thing. She went one way and I went the other, and other people are doing this. Hey, go to your mom, you know. And the little duckling just didn't want to cooperate at all. But why do you do that? Because I'm walking with her. You know, I've got to kind of forget about maybe what I want to do. We might go by the park and see some guys playing basketball. And I that might be a good thing to watch. No, she says, let's go down by the river. Oh, brother. And, there's some pretty flowers over there or something. And the truth of the matter is, you know, when you walk with Jesus, you better forget yourself. God says, deny yourself. Okay, I know this is what you want to do, but I want you to do what I want you to do. I've got something for you to do. The Bible talks about walking worthy of the vocation wherewith God hath called you. And there comes a time in our lives when we must surrender what it is we want to do. That is the Christian walk. We preach that to our young people when they're very, very small. Hey, give your life to Jesus. Surrender, surrender, surrender. One of the great songs, I Surrender All. I Surrender All. Is your all on the altar? Notice the word all there. It's always, you know, that's the challenge. Can I give myself to Jesus? It's a selfless walk. It's doing the things He wants us to do. I remember playing Follow the Leader when you're little. One thing that always offended me, and I had I wanted nothing to do with it, was skipping. I especially would have nothing to do with that now. I'm not sure. I think if I got in the middle of a skip, I'd never get out of it, you know. But remember playing Follow the Leader? And you know, and sure enough, you know, you crawl over a log, great. Jump over a cliff, wonderful. Well, not over the cliff. Jump off a cliff, you know. But, you know, you're following the leader and you got to do everything they do. And all of a sudden, and I always hated this as a kid, they start skipping. And you have to do it, right? Yeah, even if you're a little bit embarrassed, you feel kind of strange about it. Let me tell you something. If you forget yourself, you can do what God wants you to do. But you have to forget yourself. That is walking worthy of the Lord, is to deny yourself. Yeah, but what will everybody? Forget what everybody thinks and just give yourself to the Lord. It's a short walk. It's a selfless walk. Then number three, it's a separated walk. A separated walk. Look at Colossians 3, verse 1. Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It's a separated walk. When I walk with my wife, I'm not with anyone else. That was deep, wasn't it? I was thinking about this. Brother Key comes out every morning and he walks. And, well, I don't know if it's every morning, but a lot of mornings he comes out, parks here at the church, and walks the little path all around here and everything. And I was thinking one morning, I thought, I saw him out there, and I thought, yeah, maybe I'll go walk with him. And I thought, no. There's just, I started comparing, and I thought, Brother Key's a nice guy, and I like him. I love him. I'm his pastor and everything. But there's just something about, if I'm going to take time and walk, I'm going to go with my wife. Sorry, Brother Key. Besides, you'd probably walk too fast for me. Brother Chase, I don't even want to be around him. That guy, to him, walking, I don't know if I can drive as fast as he walks. But he's just zealous. But it is our life is a separated walk. God says, set your affection on things above. It's very important to understand that part of following Him is dying to sin. Part of it, He doesn't like sin. Do you understand? He doesn't want sin in our lives. And here we are, we're walking with Him. And I couldn't help but think of this as Craig and Patty were singing. He holds our hand. He's next to us. And here I am, filthy. Here I am, dirty. I think about sometimes we'll be walking and it's a real hot day. I sweat. I mean, it's just exciting how sweaty a person can get. And I think, my poor wife, yuck, I think about poor God. I think about how dirty we are sometimes because of our sin. But it's because of our affections. Our affections should be set on heavenly things. You ever think how awkward it is to in life to walk with Christ and Belial? You ever think of that? Do you understand? 2 Corinthians 6, it talks about what concord hath Christ with Belial? In other words, there is no friendship. There is no relationship. It is a battle. And somehow we have this idea that we can be in the middle and Christ can be here and Belial can be here and then we're just going to go on our walk. That's not a good deal. In fact, the Bible says no man can serve two masters. Now, for a lot of folks, this is a problem. A lot of folks, it's a problem to realize that, hey, look, I have to, in my walk, in my life, I'm going to have to make a choice who I walk with. There is no way I'm going to take Jesus with me and the devil with me and we're going to go on a life's journey here. It ain't going to happen. Better choose. Bible says in verse 5 of Colossians 3, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then it goes on, and it says in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, and on and on and on and on. And we have to make a decision. We have to decide, verse 7, in the which time ye also walked sometime when you lived in them, but that was some time ago. Bless God, I got saved, and now I need to put those things off. Jesus doesn't want you walking with Him and talking about bad things. He doesn't want you walking with Him and blaspheming. He doesn't want you to walk with Him and to have filthy communication come out of your mouth. But in our walk, in our life, that happens often. It's a separated walk to walk worthy of the Lord. It's a short walk, a selfless walk, a separated walk. And then the fourth thing, it's a suffering walk. I've been going through this in my Sunday school class. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. It is a suffering walk. 1 Peter 2, 21. And the Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Look at John 15. John 15 and verse 18. Not long ago, went through John 15 in my class. John 15 and verse 18. We learned how to abide. Verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. Hey, you ever wonder why they don't like you? You ever wonder why they're attacking our church and churches? You ever wonder why at work, you know, when you talk about the Lord, the people kind of gang up on you? If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I know we don't like that. We're trying so hard. It amazes me how many Christians in our world today are trying so hard to get the world to love them. They got their music. They got their order of service. It's almost like a nightclub. You know, just trying to get that world to accept them. How foolish that is when Jesus says, hey, wait a minute. They may love you. They may accept you. They still hate me. They still hate Jesus. I don't need the world's acceptance. But it's going to bring suffering. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Did you hear that? If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Well, there's some suffering in there. There's going to be some suffering. We're walking along and it starts to rain. If it rains on her, it rains on me. We're walking along and it's cold. And if she's cold, then I'm cold. If it's real hot, then it's just hot. We're both going to suffer from that. Why? Because I'm walking with her. If we have to climb a real steep hill, then we both have to climb. Why? Because I'm walking with her. Are you listening? And if you're going to walk with Jesus, you're going to go through the suffering. You're going to go through the trial. You will experience the hatred that the world has for him. I am constantly amazed at Christians who say, well, I just don't understand why they don't like us. You know, because you're speaking the truth, that's why. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. There will be some suffering. Well, nobody picks on me. They may not even know you're a Christian. And that's a shame. Because you know what? If you walk with Jesus in your life, if you're walking worthy of the Lord, everybody's going to know you're a Christian. You might as well have a sign that says, I'm a Christian. Why would we hide it? So they don't make fun of you? So they don't laugh? Suffering walk. But you know, the last thing under this, it's a successful walk. A successful walk. Yes, it's a short walk. It's a selfless walk. It's a separated walk. It is a suffering walk, but it's a successful walk. Walking worthy of the Lord is successful. And by the way, if we're walking, we're not standing still. Amen. That's why so many Christians don't have the joy that other Christians have. It has totally to do with your walk or lack thereof. Because when you're walking and your life is a life of, your walk really is a Christian walk and it's walking worthy of the Lord and these things are true in your life, you're not standing still. You're moving forward. And I got news for you. Standing still is not success. Moving, learning, what it says in Colossians, they're growing and learning about the Lord and learning how to trust Him and becoming strengthened in the things of God. That's how it's supposed to be. You know, folks that get saved and 5 years down the road, there's no growth, and 10 years down the road, there's no growth. They're just standing still. And you know, to get saved and just start walking with the Lord. And learning to walk worthy of the Lord and having Him by your side. And boy, there's joy that comes with that. There's excitement that comes with that. Church is exciting. The things of God are exciting. Getting with God's people is exciting. It's just exciting. And there are folks, you know, you look at them and say, you know, are you a Christian? And they, yeah. And it's because you just have never started walking worthy of the Lord. Because He has a wonderful life for you. And you miss out on so much when you just stand still. Our course. Number two is our companion. Our companion. You know, a crowd is not company. One good companion makes good company. I with Brenda gone, I decided to go for a walk last night. So I took off and all of a sudden I realized how it was different. Without my companion. It was very strange. In fact, I got about halfway and sat down on a bench and I got out my phone and called her. You know? And she didn't answer. So I wept for hours. No, I didn't. But you know, the companion is so important. I'm going to tell you, folks, you know, some folks, I'm just doing my own thing. And you need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And I'm talking about you're saved, but you need Him to walk with you. You know, the Bible says about Enoch, he had such a good walk with the Lord. They got along so well and had such a good time. God just took him. I love that. He just took him. The Bible doesn't say he died. God just took him. You know, one day they're just having a wonderful time together and God just takes him. That's good. That's good stuff. God enjoys being with us. Bible says about Enoch, he walked with God. Bible says about Noah, he walked with God. Bible says that Adam and Eve walked with God until what? Until they sinned. The Bible says God came and he was walking in the cool of the morning. And he said, Adam, because they met every day. Adam, Eve, let's walk together. And they were nowhere to be found. When they were found, they had tried to clothe themselves with their own works. And that wasn't going to work. And because of sin, the fellowship was broken with God. God wants to walk with you. God wants your life to be a life where you walk worthy of the Lord. Our companion, first of all, he's a divine companion. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. We'll go back to this verse later on. It says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He's a divine companion. He is our God. He is our God, and He's willing, and He wants to walk with us. Hey, you know, the Christian can walk with Him daily. The skeptics say, well, there is no God. And we can say, well, what do you mean there is no God? I walked with Him, and I talk with Him every day. Somebody says to me, you don't have a wife. Well, of course I have a wife. I know that. I walk with her daily. I'm with her daily. I know that she's there. Hey, could you argue with a skeptic as to whether God is or is not based on your walk? He's divine. He's God. He's God. You hear some folks talking about their God, little g God. They have to build a little booth for Him out in the yard to protect Him. Have a little light on. And my God, He's God. He doesn't need any of that kind of stuff. They have to offer some sort of a sacrifice in order to just get His attention. Maybe they have to crawl up some steps on their knees so they kiss Peter's big toe or something like that. My God doesn't require any of that. He just says, call. Just anytime, we'll just go for a walk. We don't have to sacrifice our children. We don't have to do anything to get His... We just call on Him and just, God, let's walk. He's divine. He's our God. And then another thing about our companion, He's almighty. He's an almighty companion. Look at Genesis 17 and verse 1. Genesis 17 and verse 1. Genesis 17, 1, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." I am the Almighty God. Question is asked, whom then shall I fear? Seriously. Well, I'm kind of nervous about what the government said. Whom then shall I fear? He's almighty. I get a kick. Sometimes we'll be walking, my wife and I, and it'll be late, and we'll get on some path, and there's a little path that goes from Merrick Street, I believe it is, to 52, and it goes through woods and everything, and I think that's what that road is. But anyway, and it's a pretty long path right in there. But when it's dark, I mean, it's kind of dark in there and everything, and we'll be walking along there, last year sometime there were some guys there, and they were kind of goofing off and everything, and she said, "Honey, do you think, you know, do we have anything to worry about?" Well, first thing I'm thinking, I don't have any money on me, so it's no big deal, and then they're doing all their talking and everything, and so we got past them and everything, and I said, "Were you nervous?" And she said, "No, I'm with you." I'm thinking, yeah, great. But isn't it wonderful that our God, He's an almighty companion. There is nothing that He fears. There is nothing that causes Him to tremble. And if you walk worthy of the Lord, He's right there and He's by your side. What a companion. You have nothing to worry about. Nothing to fear at all. He's a pleasant companion. Look at Malachi 2. Malachi 2. Boy, this is so important. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 6. "The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity." You know, there's a pleasant companion. When I walk with my wife, you know, she doesn't tell me a bunch of negative stuff. She doesn't talk about bad things. We just talk about good things. And I'm going to tell you something. God is always talking about good things. God is a companion. He's not going to drag you through the mud in your mind and in your heart. He's always going to try to lift you up. He's a pleasant companion. Always. Always. You ever find some folks, you talk to, and after you're done talking to them, you just, boy, this is bad. You know, you're more discouraged. You're more down. You're more worried about everything that's going on. God is a pleasant companion. God is a companion you can always count on. All He'll do is uplift you. All He will do is, and again, this is through your whole life as a Christian, God is a companion that will uplift your spirits. That is always going to be true. And then the fourth thing under our companion is He's an ever-present companion. Matthew 28 and verse 20, familiar verse, but go ahead and turn there. Matthew 28, 20. And this is a little verse you ought to have marked in your Bible. And I use it often. I refer to it often because it is such a blessing. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And look what He says. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Ever-present companion. I'm with you always. He said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, when we sin, we may break fellowship with Him, but He's always there. He's always there. Why? Because He dwells within us. And to know and to experience that is to walk worthy of the Lord and to be aware of God. You know, folks that just live their own life and do their own thing, you may be saved and He may be there and He is convicting you. Bible says we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We're not to quench Him. And conviction is a time when you can say, okay, God, I shouldn't do that. I know I need to, and get away from it. But a lot of times we say, hey, just leave me alone. I'm going to do what I want to do. But He's still there. That's an amazing thing. An ever-present companion. He's still there. He's a close companion. Back to 2 Corinthians 6:16. And we looked at this earlier, but the key thing here, He's a close companion. I just made reference to it as well. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 16. It says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He's in us. Question, where are you taking Him? Where do you take Him? Close companion. Close companion. Yeah, I kind of think my wife keeps going along with me because I take her places that she enjoys. I think there's a good relationship there because we try to please each other. Well, I think it's true also that my companion, the Lord, in my Christian walk, it is always going to be better if, because He's a close companion, if I'm where I'm supposed to be, doing what I'm supposed to do, and not making Him uncomfortable in any of it. I think my wife probably would like operas. We don't go to operas because she knows I'd be miserable. Amen. I offer to take her shopping. We don't go shopping because she knows I would be miserable. Right? I don't shop, I buy. Show me where it is, I'll get it, and I'll leave. I did the most shopping I've ever done just a couple weeks ago. I went to five stores. No, I went to four stores once, twice, or one of them twice. I never do that. But she enjoyed it. We don't do it very much because she's a close companion. And if there's shopping to be done, she shops. Garage sales to me are the classic waste of time. To me. For me, it's a waste of time. She loves it. She brings home things we didn't know we needed. But she's made someone else very happy because they obviously knew they didn't need it. There's a lot of freedom when she's not here. But you know, I often think of how she is very aware, and I'm very, I don't take her to football games. She doesn't care. She really doesn't care. I coach our basketball team, but she doesn't go to a lot of those games. She really doesn't. I mean, she cares about the kids, but the game itself, she talks to people in the stand. Hey, did you enjoy the game? Oh, we talked about this and this and this. You didn't see that great shot that Zach made? She said, no. I said, neither did we. But we know what each one enjoys, and so we're so close to each other, we try to avoid the things that we aren't going to enjoy. Let me tell you something. Some of us grieve him often because he's so close and we take him into situations that are so unlike him. He's a faithful companion. Hebrews 11, verse 5. Hebrews 11. One thing about God, when you walk worthy of the Lord, you're going to find He is a faithful companion. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. I mean, just one day, God just takes him. He had his graveyard plot paid for. It's empty. Had the vault paid for. It ain't being used. Casket was bought and paid for. Never used it. Isn't that good? Had all the little forms that talk about who he is and everything and all that kind of stuff and everything. Never got used. Isn't that good? Because God took him. There wasn't any body for the funeral. They don't even know where he was. Mrs. Enoch said, "What happened?" And he's gone. I mean, God took him. But you know what that is? That's a faithful companion. What do you mean? You know what? God's going to take us one of these days too. Yeah, he is. He may take us in the rapture. That'd be just like Enoch. Wouldn't that be something? That is an amazing thought. I mean, just boom, just like that, we're gone. He may take us in death. The key is he's taken us. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you know, this body, I mean, as it starts to wear out, it's younger. And I'd get frustrated with cars that quit working. And when you get frustrated with a car that quits working, what do? Kick it. That doesn't ever help, but I mean, it makes you feel a little bit better. Unless you kick it and break your toe or something like that. But I mean, I used to get frustrated. Things would break and quit working, and you get all upset about it. And remember, you know, dryers changing that element in the back, and what a pain that was, and all that. And now though, you know, the body starts to wear out, and you can't kick yourself. Well, you shouldn't. But you know, God's faithful because He's going to give us a new body. God's faithful because in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's faithful. Faithful, faithful companion. He says, walk with me. Walk worthy of the Lord and walk with me and live this life and live it for me. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take you faithfully. I'm going to take you to heaven someday. You don't have to worry about it. I'm going to take you. He's a faithful companion. Not just in death, but he's a faithful companion in life. Always faithful. You can always count on him. He's a comforting companion. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Psalms 23 and verse 4. I cannot think of all the times I've read Psalm 23 in a hospital, at a funeral. It's just such a blessing. Verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I think about sheep because they're dumb. And we're sheep. So we're dumb. Nobody wanted to say it. That's amazing. Well, I have my pride at Sunday morning. And oh. Well, we are. But I think of those sheep, and I think about them out there, and the shepherd, you know, and all of a sudden, off in the distance, they hear the lion roar. Rawr! That was kind of wimpy. But anyway, and there's the shepherd standing there with his rod and his staff. And that sheep looks up and says, bah, bah. Well, that was bad. The sheep has a cold. Bah. Staff, rod. You know, and then they go back to sleep. I don't know if that's how a sheep would snore or not. But anyway, and it is comforting, isn't it, to see that? Yeah. Boy, when I'm with the Lord. By the way, that rod and that staff, if a sheep got out of line, whack! Amen. That's comforting too. It is comforting. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Yeah, whom the Lord loveth. You say, God's spanking me. Boy, isn't it good he loves you? Isn't that something? That God loves you so much that he would chasten you. There's protection and chastening in that rod and that staff. There's both. And both are a comfort to us. By the way, if he doesn't break that sheep's leg, then the sheep might wander off and fall off a cliff or wander off and be eaten by a wolf. God knows what he's doing in all of that. He's a comforting companion. He is the comforter. Amen. Sometimes I just get alone with him and say, God, I just need you to hold me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I need your comfort. He's a comforting companion. And then the last thing this morning is he's an exemplary companion. Look at 1 John 2, verse 6. 1 John 2, 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. He is our example. He's perfect. And we need to strive for that in our lives. How, if we're not walking worthy of the Lord, if we're not walking with the Lord, who do we look to as our example? Well, it's the one you walk with. And again, if we're going to walk worthy of the Lord, we have no better example to look at than our Lord and how he walked. And our example is with us. And we need to strive for that. As it says here, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. How's your walk today? How's your walk today? How's your course today? It's do you realize it's a short walk? Is it selfless? Have you denied yourself in your walk? Is it? Do you understand? It's a separated walk. You can't have the Lord on one side and the devil on the other side. You're choosing one to walk with. Do you realize the suffering? And I'm sure folks here do. Do you understand it's a successful walk? How is it with your companion? Is the Lord your companion? A divine companion? Almighty companion? You trust in him? A pleasant companion? Ever-present companion? He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. A close companion? He's a faithful companion. He's a comforting companion. He's our example. Is he the one you look to? Walk worthy of the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed.